There's a high fly ball.
From KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Live on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hey, great to be with you on a Friday night, our first full show of the week, I think. No, wait, I think we had a full show on Monday. I don't know. The days all run together, man. I mean, it's we're getting into, like, holiday season, and everything's starting to feel the same. But I'm glad we got a chance to talk for 2 hours tonight. We got a lot of ground to cover. We got some college football. We'll talk some Blues later on. At 7:30, we're going to talk to Steve Holly about the Guns N' Hoses event being back this year. That's coming up next Wednesday, the 24th. And obviously, event didn't happen last year, so this is an important year to get back out there and definitely help the folks who run the Backstoppers, who do great work in the community. So we'll tell you more about that later on. This hour, going to spend a bunch of time with Gary Larocque, the Cardinals' Director of Player Development, and go over a lot of the things we learned this year in the Cardinals organization. We'll talk about Nolan Gorman and Matthew Liberatore and Juan Yepes and Brendan Donovan, who was just added to the 40-man roster a little while ago, and Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn. We'll talk a bit about a lot of individuals, but also about the team's philosophy and how they get players ready for the big leagues. And I like to catch up with Gary a couple times a year at least. And typically, like now, you know, wrapping up a year and then maybe in spring training, or we do it on the Countdown to Opening Day show too, where we'll look ahead a little bit more to what's coming. But, you know, this was a big year for player development. And we'll talk, you know, it's the first year back after 1 year of no minor league baseball. So obviously a critical year of development. And as we go through this hour, we'll have that conversation. And I talked to Gary earlier in the week, but we'll have all of that for you coming up in just a few minutes. As we look at what we've learned. And, you know, kind of as a teaser here in this segment to get the conversation started, you know, I think this was a really productive year in the minor leagues for the Cardinals in a couple of different ways. I mean, one, they didn't win a lot. You know, the minor league teams didn't win a lot, and that really doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't, because the percentage of those players that are ever going to make it to the major leagues is small, which is why you focus on individuals. You don't focus on team success. Now, if a team has a lot of good players, you know, that's a good sign, right? I mean, they're gonna have a chance to win some games. But the reality is, what matters is that if you look at the entire system, so the Cardinals' four full season affiliates, you know, AAA, AA, High A, Low A, you look at those affiliates, of all of those players, let's just, again, roughly speaking, say that there's 25 guys on each roster, even though it was more this year. It was like 26 or 20, I think it was 28 at the upper levels and maybe 30 at the lower levels, but they had more. So let's just say you got 110, 120 guys on those four teams. Like four or five are going to have impacts on the major leagues. Like, you know, four or five of those guys will be starting pitchers or regular relievers or regular players. And, you know, that's why you don't sweat wins and losses. What you really want to look at is, what are the best guys on at each level doing? What are those guys doing? And then how do they rank compared to some others? And this was a good year for the Cardinals when it comes to Nolan Gorman, your top prospect, reaching AAA and being productive there at 21 years old. And Matthew Liberatore. You know, these are guys that we have to remember that before this year, because there was no season last year, had never played above A ball. I mean, Nolan Gorman finished 2019 in high A ball. Matthew Liberatore had never pitched above low A ball before this year, and he started at AAA. So, you know, it's pretty impressive that those guys were as good as they were and that they rank as highly as they do in the top 100s that are posted all over Major League Baseball, all over the minor league baseball coverage sites. You know, Baseball America and MLB.com and Baseball Prospectus and all that. But you, in addition to those guys who were already rated highly, you had a breakout year from Juan Yepes, who hit 27 home runs and showed that he's a legitimate prospect. I mean, this was his breakout year, and it was fantastic. He didn't strike out a whole lot, hit a lot of home runs. And he did that in a lot less at-bats than you would normally think a guy would need to hit 27 home runs. Jordan Walker was a breakout player. You know, you've got good, you know, solid performances from a few others. Alec Burleson put himself on the map. Delvin Perez rebuilt his value. Lucan Baker had a big power season. Hit 26 home runs in 93 games, man. That's a lot of home runs in 93 games. So, and Brendan Donovan, another one. I haven't even mentioned him, and he doesn't often get mentioned in this, but he played at three different levels this year, starting in high A, getting to double A and triple A, and hit 300, got on base 400, slugged 450, and made it to the Arizona Fall League and produced there. So it's a good year, and you had a lot of players take big steps forward, in particular guys with power bats, but some pitchers there as well. And we're going to talk about all of that with the Cardinals Director of Player Development, Gary LaRocque, when we come back on KMOX. It's Friday night here on Sports Open Line on KMOX. Kevin Wheeler with you. And, you know, a couple times a year, I like to catch up with Cardinals Director of Player Development, Gary LaRocque, just to talk about, you know, kind of what went on big picture with the minor league system and all of that. So we usually do this kind of now and then maybe around spring training. So we get a chance to kind of, you know, get an idea of what's going on in the system and how it's going and all of that kind of stuff. And this week was that week where I had a chance to catch up with Gary LaRocque. Actually, we talked a couple of days ago about a whole bunch of things, about some of the Cardinals' top prospects, about, for example, the team's emphasis on defense and developing players that can, you know, really fit into the team's vision of what they want to be. So it's a wide-ranging conversation. We hit on a lot of things. Here at the beginning of the conversation, I talked to Gary LaRocque about the transition this year from, you know, 2020 being wiped out for the minor leagues and then getting it all started this year with the focus on player health first.
Then the biggest thing was just prepare and be ready for making sure we stayed healthy. Healthy being, you know, the virus.
Oh yeah.
And wishing it outside of one stretch in Springfield, but we were very fortunate, and our performance staff did a great job because the monitoring of day to day, entering buildings, masks, everything we had to do, went on the whole season, and wow, appropriately so. So, you know, that was the first thing. Let's just play baseball.
Yeah, that's so great.
We were pleased to know that we got that part in. We were very young. It was a different year in that respect. We did not have state. I think it's an interesting storyline. We did not have State College or Johnson City this past year, which meant a player goes from the Gulf Coast League, which is historically a high school level, our high school age group, younger players. Mm-hmm. And the jump was to Palm Beach, our low A club now.
Wow.
And that's a huge jump without those two teams.
Yeah, it's fascinating. God, when you look at it that way, Gary, that, you know, so many changes and so many different things all at once. You mentioned, you know, the reduction in the number of teams dealing with COVID. But I'm guessing, too, that you guys had to consider how many of those players didn't really even play a season the year before, and how do you manage workloads and things?
And that was a big part of our game plan per player, particularly on the pitching side. And then, of course, each roster, the A-ball rosters were at 30, AA and AAA were at 28, and that helped us because it allowed us extra players to be on the roster. So we were able to give the appropriate time, playing time, and then workload type of situations and make sure we got it done right. So from that standpoint, getting through it meant first and foremost your prospects had to play well. Mm-hmm. And we were very fortunate that our top players came out of it.
That's a great point.
Oh yeah, that was the, you know, once you get by the health issue of not playing for a year and a half, it's really a year and a half, because we came to spring training that year, but we didn't have any work and they hadn't been on the field since the September before that.
Whew.
So in reality, it was a year and a half for kids competitively to be in a game. And by
crazy.
May 4th of this past year, they go into their first games as players in 18 months. Now, everybody faced the same thing. The good news was, again, our prospects, our top players had good years. We were very pleased. And then the follow-up is our prospects who went to the fall league also had very good falls. out there in Arizona. So we were very fortunate that the players who moved and players who got into the upper levels completed pretty strong seasons. But we were very young down below, and you know, that's always going to be a challenge because we struggled in the one-loss record. But in the long run, we're better positioned, we feel, because our young players were all playing.
I do want to ask you about the top prospects that got, you know, the high draft picks and all that, like Nolan Gorman and Matthew Liberatore and Jordan Walker, and we'll get to that in a second. But you mentioned the Arizona Fall League, and there we had a continuation for several guys of what were breakout seasons. And you had a bunch of those throughout the organization, too, guys that maybe had some injuries or just hadn't found a certain element of their game, like power. And, boy, the breakouts like Lars Nootbaar, who we saw a lot at the major league level this year, like Juan Yepes, who is one of the guys that had a great performance in the Arizona Fall League after an absolute breakout season. How critical is that, Gary, to have a few players a year just kind of break through? You knew they had talent, but they kind of figure some things out.
In reality, that's what we have had to focus on each year. And we've had the good opportunities or the opportunities for our players to move to upper levels, and that challenge is right in front of them. And two or three players a year, I wouldn't say overachieve, but they come up to the level of AAA or AA, and they go beyond it. And that's what we found this year. You mentioned first right away, Lars has done it every year he's been at any level. He plays to the level immediately, and then, of course, he steps into the big leagues. Juan is another example. Juan Yepes continues to every level he goes to. He plays to the level of the league as he gets the experience in the at-bats, and then he goes above the league level. He's done that in Arizona. You know, as you know, he was in the Arizona Fall Stars game this past Saturday, of which we had six players in, and we're very proud for them. And Brendan Donovan did that. If you look across that entire lineup, you know, they really, really did a very nice job overall between Juan and having Brendan there and Nolan Gorman in the project of moving over to second base and still maintaining his offensive presence. So we were very fortunate in that respect and pleased with what they did. And then on the pitching side, really, we also, Zach Thompson started off slowly at that level, AAA, had a good second half, and had a very good fall league, was voted to the Fall Stars game as well last Saturday, a couple nights ago. So we're very fortunate that the upper-level prospects did what they had to do. Andre Pallante in AA, they did what they had to do, and they continued it into the fall. And so we feel as though that's the single most important thing is, one, your prospects have to play well, and then, two, to your point, that second-tier level prospect, upper, you know, prospect, and some of those guys did that, and it's a real credit to them.
You know, that's, and I wanted to ask you specifically about Yepes because he was, you know, he was on the wild card roster and would seem like, you know, after a big year at mostly at AAA, a little AA, but mostly at AAA, would be somebody who'll have a chance to compete for some kind of a job in spring training. Did he, you know, he had obviously a power surge, and I'm sure you guys knew there was some untapped power in there coming into the year, but was it a swing change? Was it just kind of growing up and getting stronger? What led to him having the power breakout this year?
As a credit to Juan Yepes, he put in his tremendous work ethic, and it all came together over the last two or three years. If you're, he's done that, and he's gotten closer and closer in his production. He's a great example of a young player who was projection when he was way down here in extended spring, back the year after we got him from Atlanta in that trade. He started the season off right here. And from that point forward, he has continuously, as a projection player then, turned it into performance in AA and in AAA. And it keeps getting better. Went to the Fall League, continues to get better. So he's been impressive. He works at the defensive end of it, and that's still a work in progress. We know that. First base, third base, left field. But then when you add the bat as a carrying tool, then you see in Juan Yepes the value, and all he keeps doing every year is coming up and going beyond the level of whatever league he's in, AA, AAA, and now the Fall League. So a real credit to him. It's the opportunity to get continuous at-bats, play every day. He's got tremendous work ethic, Great makeup for the game, and it's well-deserved.
No, we didn't. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see a lot of Nolan Gorman in the Fall League because of a minor injury. But boy, you talk about being ahead of the curve for your age. I mean, he's still just a young pup. I mean, I think he's 21 this entire season and putting up power, learning a new position. I know I've seen Gary some really positive quotes about his defense from that were related by John Mozeliak from Jose Oquendo. I talked to Randy Flores a couple of months ago, and even then he was talking about how the staff was raving about the defense being better than expected. And you know the bat's there, you know the power's there, but that's pretty impressive for a young man making that kind of transition after not having a whole bunch of games, as you mentioned, a year and a half before that, and you know doing that at the highest levels as a young player.
He really handled it well. A credit to Nolan and his work ethic as well. From the time we started the plan of him making the conversion over second base, which was initially not going to be every day because of the opportunity to move to the next level and then also to play a new position, we wanted to transition the position in a couple times a week and then three times a week. And at the Memphis level, by the time he got to July, he was playing it every day. And that was really significant that he handled that extremely well. He has the great ability to make adjustments. If you look back at him offensively, he's made adjustments just in the last year. Mm-hmm. He's cut down his strikeouts. He's done a very good job defensively to learn the footwork around second base. He has a great mentor in Jose Oquendo, as we know,
yeah,
who loves it and loves talking about the work that Nolan's putting into it. And it's starting to come together. And, you know, he knows he's a great competitor. He never gives in, and I spoke with him last week, just as he's winding down this last week and a half of the Fall League, and he's in a good place in terms of his off-season preparation, so we're pleased for what he's done.
Cardinals Director of Player Development Gary Larocque is my guest here on Sports Open Line on KMOX, and we've got more from Gary coming up in the next segment. In fact, coming up to start things off when we return, we're going to talk a bit about player development on the whole, like this, you know, the Cardinals certainly have a method. They have a way of doing things that helps players not only get to the big leagues, but be ready to contribute when they get there, including on the defensive side. That's what we'll talk about next with Cardinals Director of Player Development, Gary Larocque, here on your home for the Cardinals. Continuing on with some baseball conversation here on Sports Open Line on a Friday night. Kevin Wheeler with you here. And my guest is Gary Larocque, the Director of Player Development for the Cardinals. Now, I caught up with Gary a little bit earlier on in the week and obviously hit on a lot of things, including the part we're going to get to next up, which is the Cardinals' emphasis on defense. I mean, we just saw, you know, they had five players win Gold Gloves. Yadi was a finalist for the Gold Glove, so six finalists, five winners, the overall team Gold Glove. And this is a really big part of what they do at the Major League level, but it's a big part of player development. And we just talked about it with Nolan Gorman at the end of the last segment, how important this is. Well, Gary Larocque and his staff and the Cardinals minor league coaches and obviously someone like Jose Oquendo, they all have a really big impact on this because this is a point of emphasis for the team. And right here we talk a bit about, Gary Larocque and I, talk a bit about that emphasis and how they go about getting players ready to obviously help out at the Major League level, not just as hitters, but as defenders as well.
Well, first, thank you for the compliment. The coaching staff works extremely hard in their preparation. We always talk to our players about preparing, in this case, for the defensive end of the game. Jose Oquendo's tremendous, as you know, as an instructor.
Yeah.
We feel a responsibility to that because we've always taken great pride in it. If it's anything less than that, we think we have more work to do, and we'll do it. You know, the work ethic that goes into it, you have to look at the individual players you're talking about when they came through the system, Harrison, Tommy, a number of the players, Dylan, a number of the players who've come through the system are the ones who put the work in, and they take great pride in it, and it feeds off of each other, so to speak. And that's what they've done, and they did that in the minor leagues at a young age. We've always put a lot of emphasis on it, pregame work, And we'll have to. We always feel as though we'll continue to do that because it's a game that isn't it great that the number of players that have received awards here at the end of the year acknowledges the fact that they've done the work. And but we have a staff willing and committed to it, and we have to continue that. It's just something that we do in development.
You know, I didn't mention this earlier, and I probably should have. But you mentioned awards and. Dylan Carlson, as a very young player, 22 years old in his first major league season, finishes third in the Rookie of the Year voting, and obviously he showed a really nice all-around skill set too. Where do you think his greatest area for growth is, Gary? Because he's obviously well-rounded, you know, switch hitter, has some power, plays good defense, good base runner. He really does a lot of things well. Is it just, you know, kind of growing into yourself and getting bigger and stronger as you get to be a little bit more? You know, I guess get a little more man strength, right? You get to be mid to late 20s and you fill out a little bit. Is that really all that's kind of that's left for him to add to what he has? Because he seems to have such a well-rounded game.
Well, the good news is about a player like Dylan, having seen him at the young stages of his career when he was in Peoria, finished the year off in Peoria, went back the next year to start the year off, and then showed up shortly after to play the second half in Palm Beach, high A ball. Mm-hmm. He was young to that level. And you recognize it, but his talent wasn't young for the level at all. And so what it is just get the at-bats, get the time in. And, you know, a big part of it is that I've seen in the minor leagues is the sooner that our players experience a level of success, the more confidence they have, and that's when we make our greatest strides. Now, the interesting part to that is part of that level of success means they're going to struggle sometimes.
Sure.
And when a player struggles and then we add to it the performance that comes along over time, you know, once that happens, that combination really brings a lot of confidence to a player. And in Dylan's case, that's exactly what happened. A lot of people, because our Cardinal fans are tremendous and they followed, would remember that Dylan, when he went back to Peoria that year at a very young age, he went back, started the season off in April, and for the first 6 weeks, it wasn't what you would have thought Dylan would have done back in Peoria. But it didn't matter because once he got here into the second half of the season, here being Palm Beach, mm-hmm. It all came together, and the performance started to come together. Then all of a sudden, he goes to Double-A. He feels, you know, he feels that confidence level rising, and that's what took off for him. And all of a sudden, here comes the production. So mm-hmm. He experienced both ends of it. He had success. He understood how he had to work at it. And if you look back, he did the same thing during the virus, during the alternate site, and went back and did some work and came up. Part of the growth for a young player, in this case Dylan, was the ability to work through the times that are less than perfect and be better for it. And he's a great example of an athlete who works extremely hard, has a lot of inner confidence, great work ethic, and it all came together. But the experiences of doing both in the minor leagues actually helped him.
That's great. Last thing I have for you, Gary, and you mentioned at the very beginning how young a lot of your players were, and obviously young for levels because the levels and assignments have changed. And, boy, two guys that certainly seemed to be okay with maybe starting at a little bit different level than they would have otherwise were Jordan Walker and Mason Winn, who, you know, as teenagers wound up ending up in advanced A ball, which, of course, this year was Peoria. And I know that they got rave reviews, and Jordan's got amazing offensive numbers for a young man. Tell me a little bit about what you guys saw from those two guys this year.
It was fun in May to start the season with such a young team in Palm Beach. Jordan playing third and Mason playing shortstop. We did not, interestingly enough, at that time, entertain pitching for Mason yet, which is always, you know, people bring up the fact mm-hmm. that he's a great athlete and was able to be on the mound as well. But he played shortstop and Jordan played third, and they were great. Their energy, you know, you couldn't tell they were first-year players, first full season. They played like they belonged right at that league, and they were ready for it. And the reason you know that is within 1 to 2 to 3 weeks, they played to the level of the league, and both analytically and then when you watch and you scout them. Mm-hmm. And add that to their tremendous makeup and athleticism, and it's just fun to watch the development, quite frankly. And, of course, Jordan went to Peoria, and Mason was right behind him in that regard. And to think that, you know, their first full year they were at high A ball is a tremendous compliment to where they are in terms of playing this game and how they treat it. They go after it. They're very intense. They play the game with good knowledge of the game, and they like to win. And so it's very obvious and great to see. And again, the age was one thing, but the talent level was clearly another in terms of going into high A ball and being productive. And we're excited about their 2022 outlook, and looking forward to getting them out there again when we get going.
You know, it's so impressive to me, Gary, when I see young players. I mean, Jordan doesn't even turn 20 until I think May of next year, but 6'5", not a skinny 6'5", a pretty well put together 6'5", but stole a bunch of bases. Obviously, the power's there. People might look up and see 14 homers, but we got to keep in mind he only played 82 games. I mean, that, you know, it's a 25 homer pace easy in a normal full minor league slate of games. And, you know, that means a 25 stolen base pace, too. I mean, that, I think that's what's impressive to me is a lot of young players, given the way that amateur ball is now, especially with some of the big tournaments that are run and the area code games and things like that, a lot of these kids that are super talented, they seem ready for competition seemingly earlier than they might have been, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, they certainly are getting quality play in. There's no question about it. When a player arrives here, whether it's a high school player or a college player, they're coming from great programs, great summer programs, wonderful opportunities to advance in the game at an early age. And then they get here and they're talented, they're athletic, they put in tremendous off seasons. We're very fortunate in that regard. And to look back at this, in this case, our A clubs that you mentioned, we're as young as we are, that's going to be a good thing in the long run. As long as our top prospects are playing well, which they are, and can help our major league club, which we've always done. I mean, you know, we've had that opportunity to bring players up over the years who, as we say to them constantly when they're going up Interstate 55, please remember, you're not just trying to get there. You have to stay there and contribute. And that's part of the process here. And that, you know, we've been fortunate that a lot of players have reacted that way and done that. And that's what it takes. And yet we're very young at the lower levels. Sure, do we have to close that gap a little? They'll close the gap because there's enough talent to move into the next stages of development in AA particularly and learn how to produce. Even though they're young, it may just take a little more. And, you know, one of the great words about player development is patience. And our players know we can be patient, but they have to just keep working. And it's been a great group of young men that have worked hard, and our staff that works with them has been great as well.
Gary, I always enjoy our conversations. We learn a lot, and of course, obviously, there's a lot of ground to cover, and we know that you're on top of it all. Hopefully, spring training will be normal, both for health and for collective bargaining reasons, and we'll be able to say hello in person down in Jupiter coming up later on in the offseason. But thank you for this. I really appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to talking again sometime soon.
Sounds great.
Here you go. That's Gary LaRocque, and of course, Cardinals Director of Player Development. Had a chance to catch up with him a little bit earlier on this week. All right, we're going to close things off with a little, for this hour anyway, with a little more baseball coming up next. And obviously, we got some Blues, some college football, and a little bit on Guns N' Hoses coming your way in the 7 o'clock hour here on KMOX. Awesome to be with you guys. Welcome the end of hour one. We got finally a two-hour show tonight, so we'll be talking some Blues right after the top of the hour news. Got some college football for you next hour. We'll update you on Guns N' Hoses, which is back on this year, obviously postponed last year because of COVID, but they're back on for next Wednesday, the 24th. We'll tell you about that. I might have a little NFL to get into at some point. I don't know. We'll see what fits together in the next hour. Right now, I just wanted to finish with a couple quick thoughts related to the collective bargaining talks. I joked about it there at the end of the conversation with Gary LaRocque that hopefully spring training is normal both following COVID and following the collective bargaining talks. But I know, you know, parts of it that we haven't really gotten into yet, and we'll have time. I'm only going to spend like 2 minutes on it right now. So we'll see. But at this point, we just have a couple of things on the field that people are talking about, right? I mean, we've been talking about the financial side and whether they're going to get it all done, what impact it's going to have on trades and free agency. But the other part of this is, what are they going to agree on when it comes to on-field change? I think we all seem to believe that the universal DH is coming. And trust me, just if you're a diehard National League fan, just roll with it. You're eventually going to like it. You'll get over no double switches. I promise you'll get over it. As a person, as a lifelong diehard baseball fan who's covered both American and National League teams, who's lived in cities with both of them, it's okay. It really is not different. In fact, one of the things, so there are trade-offs, right? I mean, you know, there's the trade-off, okay, you miss out on, you know, whether or not you should pinch hit for in a certain spot, or do you want to do a double switch, or are you just going to go for an inning on a pitcher? But the reality is, a lot of those decisions are being made more analytically now anyway, and they're not gut feel stuff. It's not like, you know, a chess match between managers. It's really just who each team following their plan. But what the trade-off is, if you lose something there, what you gain is more quality at-bats throughout the course of a game. And by the way, what you gain is a better hitter in every lineup, not a number 9-hole hitter. You know, typically the guys stepping into those DH spots are better than average hitters. They're good hitters. So you'll enjoy that, and you'll enjoy seeing somebody other than a pitcher striking out way too often or bunting when bunts aren't smart baseball plays and all that. But we have that we think is coming. The pitch clock is probably going to get a lot of support. I've never been a big fan of the pitch clock. I mean, I'm willing to see how it works, but I don't like the idea of rushing pressure situations in this sport, which is it's kind of the best part about the sport, is that, you know, you're not there. You know, I do understand that, you know, they play in pressure in basketball and football, and they have, you know, they have the shot clock and the play clock. I get it, and then, you know, I'll get used to it if they do it. And then the other is limits on shifts and whether or not that's going to come in to the next collective bargaining. So I'm going to mix in a little bit of this baseball stuff with some Blues and some college football coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here on KMOX.